Welcome to this edition of the Beef Roundtable. I'm Dr. Ron Lemonade, your Beef Extension Specialist at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. And I'll be working with my co-host, Bert Rutherford.
And I'm Bert Rutherford, Senior Editor of Beef Magazine. I'm based in Denver, Colorado. Each month on the Beef Roundtable, we discuss with leaders in the beef industry current topics that concern all beef producers.
The Beef Roundtable is recorded live and edited to fit the time constraints of the program. The programs are available at Beef Magazine website, iTunes, YouTube.com, as well as www.beefroundtable.com.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Now that we have all the housekeeping out of the way, our topic for today's Beef Roundtable is a look at the devastating wildfires that consumed well over a million acres in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Colorado. Our first guest is Dr. Randall Spare, president of the Ashland Veterinary Clinic in Ashland, Kansas. Randall is a proud graduate of K-State's School of Veterinary Medicine. At AVC, he focuses on bovine care, especially the cow-calf segment of the business. Ashland, Kansas was ground zero for the wildfires that we had earlier this year. Randall and his staff truly did heroic work during and after those fires, seeing to the needs of not just the cattle, but cattle producers.
Our second guest is Matt Perrier with Dale Banks Angus in Eureka, Kansas. The ranch and the Perrier family are among the many who helped lend a hand to the fire victims. Matt spent several days on the ground during the wildfires helping burn out ranches and work with the Kansas Livestock Foundation to raise awareness for the need of donations of supplies and money. Dale Banks Angus is a fifth-generation ranch nestled in the southern Flint Hills of Kansas. The operation runs nearly 500 registered Angus females and 200 yearlings and coming two-year-old bulls. Since Bert Ferrier bought the first Angus to the Dale Banks Angus operation in 1904, the ranch's mission has been to produce genetics that add profit to the beef community. In addition to typical ranch duties and activities, Matt also manages the breeding, marketing, and customer service operations at Dale Banks.
Randall and Matt, let's get started today by talking about the effect that the fires had on the ranches that got burned out. Scott, I'm
well, that's a really good question, Bert, and let's go back to the beginning, and I think that the challenge that we see many people going through was it's different phases. First of all, if there was the phase of people assessing what the damage was to their ranch, the lion's share, 90% of those cattle that were lost were actually lost off 9 ranches here in Clark County. And those ranchers lost, and I told people that asked me, they were in the process of being animal caretakers and putting to sleep those animals that needed to be put to sleep, assessing the dead cattle that they have, and they were being tremendous stewards of those resources that they were responsible for. So once they've gone through that process, now they're assessing what their fence needs are, at the same time trying to make a plan, not only financially, but what can we restock with and what are we going to be able to handle? We've been blessed with some rain in early April. This morning we had another 1/2 inch rain come through, so our pastures that were burned looked like a lawn, and we're very thankful to God for providing for us.
Who got burned out. How long do you think it's going to be before those pastures are able to support cattle again? And what are the ranchers doing in the meantime to keep their herds together?
So I'll address that. In the meantime, I think it could be, depends on how much rain we receive. You know, that it looks like now that the grasses that were burned are sure coming back. The crowns of that, the grass was not damaged, and we're getting pretty good complete cover of the different grasses and the different species of those grasses coming back. And part of what we learn that we're going to be able to get away with is we learned from the Anderson Creek fire, which was over in Comanche and Barber County last year, and they had tremendous grass protection. So there's a lot of hope as we get this moisture. And as long as that will continue, I think that we'll start to see people sprinkle cattle back out there, maybe as early as in the mid of June. And then once that happens, then what you'll find is these people are tremendous stewards of the soil and their grasses, and they'll be very careful on how they put cattle back. And one of the things is, just because we're in one county here in Clark County, there are several different ecosystems. There's really hard soil with a lot of short grasses, and there's also some sand dunes that down on the Cimarron River that they've blown quite a bit since the fire, but they'll come back. But that's a very tender and sensitive ecosystem, and they're going to have to probably not put cattle back on there until they get that turf soaked down a little bit with more moisture and a root system. But the good ranchers like a plan, and in this process, they're going to have to manage through a little bit of chaos and unknowns, and it'll be a day-to-day management. Don't you agree, Matt?
Yes. Yeah, no doubt about it. Matt, did you have any, when you were on the ground in that fire-devastated area, you know, give us a reaction to kind of what you saw and how people were handling that.
Well, I was there about 5 to 6 days after the fire occurred, and was there for 2 or 3 days after that. And they were past the initial shock and awe of it, but they continued to see things that they just no one expected. But I guess the overarching thing that I saw while I was down there was a group of determined, hardworking, salt of the earth people who recognized the tragedy and the loss that had occurred, but they continued to put those animals before anything else, their own health and welfare quite often. They were operating on very little sleep over 4 or 5 nights time, a lot of emotion, a lot of strife, but yet their passion was still straight where it needed to be as a rancher and a caretaker of the land and the cattle, and that was on saving the cattle that were there, and unfortunately having to euthanize or put to sleep those that obviously weren't going to make it because the fire had injured them. So, but like I said, at the time I was there, their eyes were starting to look up and look forward, and ever since then, they've continued to do just that.
Matt and Randall, even as the fires were burning, donations of money and supplies began pouring in, and donations continued at a remarkable rate, from my perspective at least, for quite some time after the fires were out. Were these donations helpful? You know, now that the collection points and resource centers are kind of winding down, what aid do these ranchers need now?
I think cash is going to continue to be one of the biggest needs going forth. You're exactly right, Ron. The aid started coming hours after the fire started. In fact, some of the hay, and I think Randall can attest to this, some of the hay was being delivered before the fires were even put out. And that was needed immediately, and it was delivered immediately, which has been great. And they've continued to get those deliveries. They've gotten fencing supplies and clothes and food and water and so many things. Those are going to tail off. Now we're faced with trying to reach out there and help our neighbors in terms of cash donations. There have been several foundations set up. The one that I'm probably the most familiar with is the Kansas Livestock Foundation. And we've raised just over $2 million as of this week. And those donations continue to come in. But when you think about it in terms of fencing costs at $10,000 a mile estimate, thousands of cattle that have been lost, many of those generation upon generation of high genetic merit type cattle that you don't just buy at the local special cow sale on Tuesday evening. So the dollars that are going to be needed are going to continue, and we appreciate so many people, nearly every state in the nation and several countries that have donated those funds, and those will be used very wisely, and those ranchers will put those to good use. I think now, and Randall, I guess you can expound on this being right there at ground zero. I think now, as the supplies get used up, as the cash gets distributed, there's still going to be a bit of grief, and there's still going to be some needs, I think, for us to reach out to our friends down there in Southwest Kansas and Panhandles, Oklahoma, and Texas to help them through as they rebuild. Because once everybody leaves Ashland, once the hay trucks quit rolling, there are still going to be a lot of needs, don't you think, Randall?
That's really true, Matt, and we cannot communicate our gratefulness, and we've learned how to be gracious receivers of these gifts of hay and money and fencing material, and people, students and kids from all over the country coming just to help roll up fence. And I've seen grown 70-year-old men shed tears when young kids come and roll up wire and then hand him, well, we saved this money. Well, I tell you what, that's encouragement, and it keeps us developing a plan that to know that, you know what, we're going to persevere, and we're actually going to be better off in some ways through this tragedy. And that's a hope that's been put in front of us, that this help has done for us, not just fixing our problem monetarily, but the encouragement to continue to persevere and be an example to the rest of the country that, you know what, we'll go through tragedies. We don't have our hand out to the government to necessarily help us, but we're going to help our friends. And you'll see people from here not only writing checks, but they'll run to help others. And because we've learned how to do that from the examples of people coming to our aid. No, I want to just communicate, you listed that we've done heroic efforts. You know, we came on Tuesday morning after the fire. My partner, Dr. Kellenberger, and I came early that next morning and said, we need to organize. We need to be, come alongside of our producers and make sure that they're taken care of. And so what we did wasn't out of the ordinary. It's just our job to reach out to people. And we made phone calls to make sure people we're okay physically, emotionally, and that's really going to be our task as we move on, to continue to call those people that, are you doing okay? Because they know that this fall they're going to be selling 70 calves or 100 calves or even more, fewer. And, you know, you're looking at lost income this year, and that's going to be the challenge, the stopgap to get through the next 18 months. So there's still many challenges in front of us. We've met some initial needs, but I think it's our responsibility to continue to come alongside people and say, how can we support you? And one of the things, comments that I'd like to make is that we've also received so much help from people within our small community that maybe don't own a farm, don't own a ranch, but they have a business here in town. And the group effort and just each person's willingness to come along and support neighbors has been tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. We help each other out. We truly do. Randall and Matt, you both mentioned the emotional aspect. And for those of us who have never been through a tragedy like this or who, you know, witnessed it from the outside, like I did in 2006 when the fires in the Texas Panhandle. I cannot imagine the emotions that people went through and are going through now. How are the affected ranchers doing? Are they doing okay? Do they need some help in that regard?
I think that's a great question, Bert, and I've had several people from throughout the country call and say, had talked to a gentleman from Colorado and say, asked me just that question yesterday. He had sold a calf for $790 at a sale and raised $10,000 for the fencing material. He said, "Now, Randall, you have the fence, but how are they really doing?" And the only thing that I can really say, and whether it's in Kansas or Oklahoma or Texas, I would just encourage neighbors that know each other to continue to reach out to one another and say, what can I do for you today? How can I help you? And it's neighbors that are going to be able to help one another through the emotional needs, and friends and family, because there's going to be continued trauma stamped all over our lives. And we're all going to handle it differently.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
In a little bit that I've visited with folks since I was out there, there's three or four families out there that I know the best. And I could tell you that all three of those four of those families are handling it differently. And there are some that are going to need more counsel and more shoulders to lead on than others. So Randall's exactly right. Help thy neighbor, and we're going to know and how best, and they're going to let us know how best to help them going forward. One thing, I guess, a question for you, Randall. I think I read this somewhere. Does Ashland have some type of a long-term recovery effort planned? I know the Ashland Community Foundation has been very active. Do you all have that kind of lined out for the future?
Well, and actually, there's a few of us that have created a working group on Sunday evening after the fire. And we've just been dialogue and visiting that we need to make sure that we continue that and let that evolve over time to make sure that we're helping one another out and that people don't fall through the cracks. You know, the thing is, there's people that didn't lose any cattle but lost all their grass. Well, those people are just as important to follow up on and to reach out to as those that lost grass and their cattle and homes. And there's also people that are more well connected and more visible. And what's really unique, men, is that those ranches have created a sense of otherness. They're concerned so much about their neighbors just as their own well-being. And that philosophy, that paradigm of compassion is helping create a sense of recovery in itself, because those large ranches said, we're going to be okay. It's going to hurt. This is a hard pill to swallow, but we're going to help each other out.
I might echo that and say, when I went out there to help, I drug a couple of horses and food and water and things like that, not knowing exactly what was needed, but knowing there were two or three ranches who I knew pretty closely that I figured could use the help. Well, every one of those places that I stopped at, I helped them for a little while, but every single one said, you know what, here's a guy's name and number, call him because he needs more help than even I do. And that's the spirit. My faith tells me that God has a plan for all of these events, and Ashland is a place, if any place in this world, could do what was right and help each other and get through something like this. The faith and the togetherness and the giving spirit of Clark County, Kansas, is one place that has shown that man is still able to survive after one of these catastrophic events.
You know, and I think you've touched on, you know, that there is a little bit of a silver lining kind of in all of this devastation, you know, and that's people working together, you know, that's, you know, people that you didn't even know showing up and providing goods and services and donations, you know, and I don't know that the mainstream media has really shown, you know, American agriculture at its finest. Wow. Comment on that.
You know,
I think you're probably right. I'm not a big social media fan. In some ways, I think that Facebook and some of Snapchat, Instagram, you name it, could be the ruination of society. But I will be honest, if not for social media, this event probably would have gotten very little play. And so this has been one time where we use the technologies that are available, their communication tools, and they, while sometimes get a bad rap and can have a lot of negativity, social media was a very positive way for those that, like Randall and his crew at Ashland Veterinary Center, could get the facts out and the rest of us could share them and share them and share them again. I don't know. We did get some attention from the national media. A lot of folks would agree, Ron, that it wasn't enough. But positive stories like we've seen in the aftermath of this fire don't always make the nightly news. And so maybe it's a good thing. Maybe because of all the good that has come out of this, it hasn't been newsworthy, but it sure has been social media worthy. So I thank everybody who's helped tell those great stories there for their efforts.
You know what? There is a longing. I wish everybody knew my story, but it's more than that. It's us helping one another and the agricultural community throughout the Midwest. And I don't want to leave out people from the East Coast and West Coast and agriculture that have sent us money that it wasn't worth sending $1,000 worth of hay out to us and spending $2,000. So they sold the hay and sent us the money. And we appreciate that. But there were people that gave the widow's mite. Paradigm. A gentleman drove out from Missouri and he left at 2 o'clock in the morning and he brought out to his rancher all the fence supplies that he had on his place. He said, sorry, it's not very much and it's not very good, but that's all I had. How humbling is that? And all we can do is just come alongside and accept a hug and say, wow, thank you for giving. Thank you seems so cheap in these times, but you know, men, if we in agriculture understand that we are for each other, and there's many different paradigms in agriculture that maybe we're at odds with each other. We have different values on whether it's animals and how they should be marketed, but we have to understand I think we need to learn from this, and we need to learn to stick together and not be divisive, but understand that we have animal protein that we need to sell, and we need a lot of people to buy it, and we don't need to be so concerned about putting each other down. And that's something that's probably on my heart, is how can we, in this agricultural community, flourish even in the midst of this. Even though we have different paradigms, we have different equity, we have different ability to assume risk, how can we in agriculture in Clark County, in the surrounding counties, flourish because of this?
Yeah, well said. Any last thoughts on the experience? Any other stories that you want to relate or anything that you think is important for people to understand?
Can you share with us just from as you came in, and Matt was a perfect example of people that came in and helped, but what were your thoughts as an outsider, and you saw the devastation, you saw that look on people's faces of we're going to get this. We don't know how, but we're going to move through this.
Yeah, it was almost indescribable, Randall. And I tried to prepare myself on the 4-hour drive out early that morning for what I was about to see. And I think I prepared for the cattle loss. I did prepare myself for the loss of grass and fences and homes and buildings, but what I didn't prepare myself or wasn't able to prepare myself for was the raw emotion that was on those folks' faces. Once you cut through the dust and the soot and the ash that was all over their physical bodies, the open wounds that they had just from losing so much, and every ranch was different, what they lost and the amount that they lost. Every person was a little different on how they were handling it. But these are folks that are tough. I mean, you live in a country where you scratch out your living every day, Randall. You've got to be tough. Drought, wind, you name it. There have been challenges. But these are some that I hold up as some of the toughest individuals I know of. And yet they were breaking down right and left. And I think that that was one thing that was interesting to me. Some of those folks I never had met. Like I said, I went down to help two or three families who I knew of, and they sent me several other places to people I didn't even know. And I think that was probably, again, God's plan, that they knew they probably were not going to ever see me again. They could open up a little bit to a perfect stranger and share some of the things that were on their hearts and on their minds and their concerns that maybe they wouldn't have told to somebody they knew they were going to see at church next Sunday or at the feed store or the, you know, wherever. It was there then. I have since made one quick return trip down there just a few weeks ago, and it was refreshing to see what a little time, a little rain, and a little healing had done, because some of those same folks, you could see on their faces, thanks to the leadership that you, Randall, and so many other families in that area have given, they're ready to move forward. And there were a few of them at the time that I saw them within that week of the fire. I was concerned about a few, but now it's clear. Everybody has a plan. They don't know exactly the details, but they know they are going to rebuild and grow and make it through.
You know, the one of the things that I'd just like to communicate is just a sense of gratefulness that we all have. For media telling our story, agricultural media. I had an interview actually with CNN, and I was a little bit concerned about that. And I said that I said, now listen, we're very vulnerable to you, and we would ask that you understand that we are tremendous caretakers of these animals, and they're live animals, and we take that very seriously. And he asked to interview somebody, and I said, and the young fellow was very honoring to us in his interview and understanding that our pain. And we just, as a community, want to say thank you to so many people that have come alongside and helped us, perfect strangers. I'll give you an instance just in closing, and this is typical. I had a gentleman from North Central Kansas. He worked it out, and over the last 3 weeks, he figured out a way to bring down two pairs and a cow-calf pairs. And he said, can you find somebody for me to give it to? And yesterday he handed off two cow-calf pairs. He and his wife brought those down, and he wanted to meet that young fella. We don't know those people. But he wanted to hand off and help encourage that person. And you know what? I bet he calls him back and he checks on him to see how he's doing. We can tell you story after story, and the emotion that it brings out in us is unique. I mean, it's painful. It's joyful emotion now as people come along to help us to move past this. So we just say thank you so much.
Just to respond to that, Randall, in one of my editorials, I reflected back on the 2006 fires when I was living in the Texas Panhandle, and my work there helping to coordinate some of the relief efforts. And I saw the same thing. And I felt an exceptional amount of pride at being a part of the agriculture community then, and I feel it stronger now. We truly are the best people in the world, and we thank God for that.
Okay, on the human side, Randall, tell me, you know, are we done with the health issues on these cattle now?
You know, and that's a good question. Okay, so I told people there's three groups of cattle. those that were alive, those were dead, and those that needed to die. Well, and that's kind of short and succinct, but one of the things that we don't know, the ongoing issue is, what are these, let's say you had a fall calving cow herd and you had your calves weaned, but their udders were damaged. Yep. You know, the dairy people don't, I've talked to a few veterinarians and dairy people, they don't know what those udders are going to be like when those cows freshen next fall. Yep. And so that's one of the areas we're going to have to be really aware of, is whether we just pull those calves off. Let's say you have a registered animal, she has a registered calf in her. Well, you don't just go euthanize her because her udder's damaged. But what sir, did that scar that mammary gland? We don't know that. We just don't know. And so we'll have some colostral substitutions next fall to do in some of those places. But 99% of the cattle that have need to be euthanized or have been euthanized, I would say.
What about lung damage? Do you think that there's going to be any permanent lung damage because of the heat and ash and all the things that go with that fire?
If you were to ask me this a year ago, I'd say I don't know. But there's cattle that were on that Anderson Creek fire where it burned in every pasture. 90% of the grass was burned on a ranch, but they lost a few cattle. And those calves flourished this last summer. They were all huddled together in feeding grounds, and those calves did well. They're getting ready to breed them heifers right now that they were part of that. So is there some small damage that we can't see or measure? Maybe. But I think cattle are either, those little calves are bucking and bawling that are alive. Some of them have some pretty singed ears and burnt back, but for the most part, they're really doing well. And one of the major issues we've seen is those calves born within that first week after the fire, that their mothers were in the fire and we weren't there to get the details of grabbing that calf and giving a colostrum. We've seen quite a few cattle that probably had failure passive transfer of immunity. And we've treated a number of those at the clinic that we wouldn't have normally seen.
How about feet? Hoof problems, anything there?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the issues of when we put cattle to sleep or three. Those that couldn't see and had no hair and they just couldn't move and their skin was starting to dry up. Secondly was their udders that were so badly burned. And thirdly was the feet issues. That's kind of an interesting phenomenon. We saw this quite a bit, not necessarily in Anderson Creek fire, but we had to go help a producer last year that had insurance on his cattle. And it was really hard to say, you know, the animal was healthy, except there was cracks in the coronary band, and you could start to see that foot evidently got so hot that the lamina was separating and that hoof wall was going to fall off. So those decisions to euthanize those cattle immediately was something that we could see we needed to do this year. Yeah. So those were the three main issues that we see. It'll be interesting to see how what calving's like on some of those. I preg checked a few cows the other day that were in the fire that were fall born and just wanted to reconfirm their pregnancies, and I felt their udders, and some of them were, you could tell their teats were burned and they were healing. There was a pinkness to those teats, but we'll just have to wait to see what happens to those.
Did you see any difference in pregnancy rates? I mean, did we lose some of those early pregnancies, do you think? You know, I mean, if you preg checked and then you followed up with a preg check, you know, and some of those cattle, you know, any feel for loss of pregnancies?
I think we might have lost some pregnancies. I had a group of cows of my own that I'd preg checked early to see who conceived on the first two cycles with an ultrasound, and those pregnancies were still in place. I'd done that in January. I think I lost some pregnancies that were 30 to 45 days.
Before total implantation. Yeah. That makes sense. Yep. Those pregnancies are pretty fragile until you get to that 42, 45 day window. And then they become pretty strong, I think, after that. But, you know, that stress period, you know, and Kansas has got some old data, you know, back when they were doing a lot of estrus synchronization and AIing kind of as part of an intern program. You know, when producers move those cattle in that, you know, sometime after about day 4 or 5 of pregnancy, you know, until, I don't know, 30 days, 45 days, whatever, pregnant. And so if those cows happen to be in that stage of pregnancy during that highly stressful period, it would seem logical that some of those pregnancies would be lost.
That's right.
That wraps up this edition of the Beef Roundtable. Join us next month for another look at the issues and trends that affect you. Thank you.